That was at a point in my life where I'm on top of my game. I'm a multiple award winner with Pfizer. I had already won my second award just like the year before. And now I'm dating this guy. And now I'm sitting in front of six doctors, basically being told, we don't know if you're going to survive tonight or not.
Are you at a crossroads in your career? Ready for a change, but you're not sure how to get there? Don't worry. We are about to produce your best life together. Welcome to the Second Act Success Podcast. I am your host, Shannon Russell. I am a former television producer turned boy mom. I left my dream job to find family balance, and in doing so, I produced my dream life. Now I am a business owner, podcaster, and career coach. My mission is to help other women like you find what they are truly meant to be doing. If you are ready to start over in your career or pivot to a new purpose, then get ready to be inspired by stories of women who have done just that. We will share advice and actionable tips to motivate you as you move along on your path. It is time to shine, so let's start producing your balanced life of abundance today. This is Second Act Success. Hi, and welcome to the Second Act Success podcast. I'm Shannon Russell. Whether you've been listening every week since the beginning, or if you are new and just turning into the podcast, I'm so happy to have you here. My guest today is Sylvia Worsham. She'll be here talking about how a turning point led her to an entirely new life. Sylvia was an award-winning hospital sales representative for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals for most of her career. She chose a dependable path and made great money. But one day, she was admitted to the hospital and wasn't sure she would make it through the night. It was in that moment that she felt a calling that she was meant for more. Sylvia is now a turning points coach, author, and keynote speaker who specializes in empowerment, sales, and leadership. I hope you get as much out of hearing Sylvia's story as I did. This is Sylvia Worsham and her Second Act Success story. Hello, awesome. Sylvia. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Shannon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start off with you telling me about your story. I know you were very successful in the pharmaceutical world, working for Pfizer, but you were a single mom and you felt unfulfilled. So kind of talk to me about your first act.
I came from a Mexican upbringing. Both parents are Mexican. And when they came to this country, my dad, as a doctor, modeled to us perfection and modeled to us achievements. And that was very important to him, and education. So there was this big push to achieve. And I think my subconscious mind just kind of took that as, I got to achieve to be worthy. Mm. And that's what I did. I achieved perfectly. And there was a big trauma that actually formed me very early on at the age of 7. My sister almost died. And in that trauma, my father kind of tries to blame me for her death or potential death. She doesn't die. I obviously don't survive emotionally. And so I become the security seeker. And that means a pattern of behavior where I need to control my circumstances. And what better way to control than to be in a corporate America environment where I can control my settings and my circumstances. And I can strive for achievement because that's what's supposedly going to fill my heart and soul. And yet when I'm standing on stage being the number one top performer for Pfizer Pharmaceutical in the same year that my first husband asked for a divorce, I don't feel happy. And I wonder why. I'm just standing there like, wow, I thought that when I got there, I would find this like pot gold of happiness and joy just waiting for me. And it didn't happen. I was already a single mom. My little boy was about 4 years old, 5 years old. And I just kind of take a break from dating. I kind of went back to therapy and just try to find myself again. Like, I really wanted to understand who I was, how I got to where I was in life. And in that process, in that growth, I met my second husband and we started dating. And then I make the big mistake of taking birth control pills after the age of 35. And that's a huge thing because, you know, being in pharmaceuticals, you talk about these medications and the long list of things that could happen to you, you know, in the event that something bad. And I become the statistic that I had always talked about. I developed pulmonary embolisms. My mother noticed something was off. Like intuitively, she knew that I did not look physically well and still insists that I call my brother, who is a doctor. Jose, he picks up on the second ring and I just kind of detail my symptoms. And he's like, you know what? You're like in perfect health. I was exercising 7 days a week. I was just in awesome shape. And clearly God had other plans because I end up in the hospital the next day. The true awakening came when I had six doctors walk into my room and they basically said, we're surprised you're alive. I didn't know it at the time, but I was passing through two blood clots through my heart that got to my left lung and it did not kill me. Would one usually kill someone? But I heard a prompting that said, lean forward and you should be able to breathe. And I leaned forward for those 4 hours. And the doctors, as they're in that room, are explaining to me, this is what was happening to your body. But that's not the worst of it. They said, you have a massive blood clot and it's putting pressure on your liver. And it's already like inflaming it so much that you're going to require a liver transplant if it manages to cut off the blood supply. And I'm sitting there like 37 years old. My little boy, luckily, somebody had picked him up already. My mom's in the room, my boyfriend's in the room, and I'm just sitting there like stunned. I remember just feeling this need to surrender into God's arms because I knew that the doctors were hesitant I would even survive the night. In fact, they told my parents that I had about an 80% chance of dying because it was a pretty morbid condition. I wasn't told that. I think psychologically, they wanted to keep me, you know. Well, I'll tell you something, Shannon. When I surrendered to God in that moment, I felt this peace wash over me and this acceptance of whatever waited for me in ICU. I was fully willing to accept it. And when you fully accept God's will in your life, it kind of shifts your perspective. And so that really is like the beginning of the second act, if you will, is at that moment.
That is a lot to handle and to be in that really vulnerable position where you have nothing else but to surrender to God at that point, really, and just put your future in His hands. Were you a religious person prior to that?
That's a good question. I like that question. I'll tell you why. I have a very different definition of being religious versus being someone who has a relationship with Him. At that time, right after my divorce, I started having more of a relationship with Him. I wasn't going to church. So in answer to your question, was I religious? Technically not. But I was meditating and journaling. And in my journaling practice, I would converse with Him. In fact, He was the one that guided me to go to Houston where I met Donnie, my second husband. So I would call myself more of a faithful person. Because I think there's a huge difference between faith and religion.
Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah. Structured. I mean, I go to church now, but I actually have a relationship with Him and I touch base with Him every day. Mm-hmm. So even in that time, I was touching base with Him because had I not been, it would have been very hard, I think, to surrender and accept. Because I was at a point in my life where I'm on top of my game. I'm a multiple award winner with Pfizer. I had already won my second award just like the year before. And now I'm dating this guy. And now I'm sitting in front of six doctors being told, we don't know if you're going to survive tonight or not. I think something very powerful happened the very next day that really seals this question that you've asked me whether I was religious or not. We were in ICU and we don't know if the therapy they did on me worked or not. And if it hadn't, then they were going to take a much more interventional route that really was going to put my life in enormous risk. So luckily, Donnie was walking back into the room and this woman with the Catholic diocese walked in and she kind of looked at her papers and said, are you Sylvia? And I said, yes. She goes, do you want to pray with me? And I remember just thinking, yes, I actually need that support right now, that spiritual support. We formed a circle between the three of us. And halfway through Our Father, this love like enveloped the whole room. And I felt like someone was cradling me in His arms and protecting me. And I felt this peace and a knowing that I was okay. I didn't need doctors to confirm. And she leaves the room and Donnie turns to me and says, you felt them too, didn't you? I couldn't even speak. I had tears running down my face. And when you have these encounters, the question of are you religious or not is so critical because there's so many people out there that don't want to have a relationship with Him because they think religion is the same thing as having a relationship with Him. It stops them. And if there's anything in their childhood that bothered them about religion, they close that door to that relationship. And thus they close the door to the possibility of more abundance than you could ever dream of physically on this earth. So thank you for asking me that question.
I think it's a really interesting distinction. And in that relationship saved you. It really brought you that faith that you needed to say, I'm still here. I have more to offer and this is not my time.
Absolutely. It saved me in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. It saved me and to this day continues to do that. So that's what started the second act.
So you get out and you are thankfully all right and you have this new awakening. And what do you choose to do? Do you go back to Pfizer and keep doing the corporate thing or do you make a turn?
To some degree, yes and no. But when you have a turning point like this, there's a period of reflection that occurs and you have this desire that God places in your heart. And the desire was for me to shift my lens towards my divine soul's purpose and go on this quest. So I start taking more classes. I'm still working for Pfizer and I'm still working in medical sales. But now the love in my life has taken center stage as opposed to the achievements in that my life. And I moved to Austin within a year of having this awakening. I married Donnie. And I start all over again. And people who had known me for a long time were shocked. They were like, wow, like this is a big deal. But turning points can be very life-altering and very life-changing. Before, I was looking for my happiness outside of myself. And then I nearly die. And it just kind of like starts to shift that lens ever so slowly. But there's years in between when I survived and when I actually start to really move in the direction that he intends for me.
How long was it after you were sick and in the hospital till you said goodbye to your corporate job?
I survived in 12 and in 14, I retire from medical sales and I shift my lens to becoming a stay-at-home parent, which was a huge transition for me and one that I struggled with immensely. I think for women, it becomes this identity crisis of sorts because you don't know who you are. So for me, it was about getting to know myself again. I started to take myself out on dates once a week. Aww. And I started to do things that really filled me with joy. I had my baby girl, and so I was really devoted to raising her, but I struggled immensely with my worth. My worth and my significance were tied to a paycheck. And when that went away, that really kicked me into a tailspin. But when I reflected and I started writing the book, Journey to Me, I realized that God was just chiseling away all these things that just did not belong for the second act. He was preparing me for the second act.
And so I did the same thing. I left my corporate career in entertainment and I was staying at home with my kid while I was figuring out my next act. I can look back now as we have this conversation and I don't think I truly was present during that time because I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do because everything that I was my career. So I think God was helping you enjoy those moments with your little girl and enjoy this new adventure you had with your new husband and just kind of to be present and enjoy and have that be your priority rather than your job and your accolades.
Exactly. As we speak about it, you know that you mentioned something that was so key, that you were not present because your identity was tied to this. I was the same way, where I was so caught up in my victimhood. My victim pattern of behavior came out in full display because my husband, now feeling the pressure to be the sole breadwinner, was now working longer hours. But then I remember one time my mother, I'm on the phone with her and I'm just like sobbing and I couldn't understand why I did not feel this happiness. And she said, I think you need to go back to therapy, hon. And I did. I found this wonderful therapist. She specialized in female issues. And she kind of showed me through the sessions that my perfectionism was rooted in this not enoughness. And so she starts introducing me to Brené Brown and the Gifts of Imperfection. And I start reading and I really start to get into this. And the more I do it, the more I'm turning inwards for those answers. And then one morning in 2017, I'm like sitting there journaling, because journaling is a big deal for me and in my coaching practice. And I hear a persistent prompting. I call them God instincts. Call Bridget, call Bridget. And Bridget had been my former mentor at the John Maxwell team. And she had asked me to be part of the team. And my perfectionist and security seeker ways prevented me from stepping out of that security of that big paycheck with Pfizer to move into my role, because I needed to have medical insurance for my boy. There was like no other focus but that. And the prompting was like super strong. So I pick up the phone and I'm like, hey, Bridget, is that opportunity still available? And she's like, absolutely. Let's get you started. And that very morning, I just talked to Donnie and he's like, go for it. And I signed up with the John Maxwell team and I started the certification process to become a speaker, coach, and trainer. The moment I step in there and actually call and say, here's my credit card, let me start the certification process, I feel peace wash over me. So I know I'm in alignment with my soul identity.
You acted on it. And I think that's important. Could have been a survivor and gone back to your life. Mm-hmm. You could have heard that message of call Bridget and not called her, but you acted on those signs and it led you to where you are. Acting on it is so important for people to trust your intuition, listen to those signs. And you know what? If you called Bridget and she said, I'm sorry, we don't have anything now, that would have been a sign in itself that maybe there was something else for you to wait for. But it wasn't. That was, wow. Powerful.
So I start moving in that direction and I fly to Florida and I get my certification and I start that journey.
So you were trained by John Maxwell. I'm a huge fan of his books. I'm currently reading the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Incredible. So tell me, after your certification with him, you decide to open your own coaching practice and then write your book. So tell me what Journey to Me is all about.
I write the blueprint I use in my own life, like how to take a turning point. What's going on with your two minds, your conscious and your subconscious, when you're navigating change? And what is going on with your environment, your feelings? What are they doing during these turning points? And so a lot of people that have wanted to work with me or have been attracted to work with me are women who are going through changes. And so I've had people like divorce after 30 years of marriage. That's a big one, because that's an identity crisis of sorts. You know, they don't know who they are. As a turning points coach, I guide them a lot on their patterns of behavior and how it shows up in their life. I'll share some different examples of like, well, this is how victim mentality shows up. And this is how security seeker, have you seen this in your life? Where do you see this in your life? And I have them think about it, because the more they reflect, the more a lot of these things have to come up from the subconscious part to the conscious part. And then you can call them lies. A lot of my coaching practice is doing the quieting of the mind of, let's pick something that's going to help you. If they're writers, then we go with journaling. If they're not writers, then we go with meditation or with breathing exercises. And so really my coaching practice is to kind of guide them through that change in a more joyful way, because you can go the longer route and let your ego dictate, or you can start interrupting that ego and placing new habits on board and doing it in a way that's joyful for you instead of the really painful way. So that's really what I kind of help people and just kind of show them, like, what identity are they operating from? Why are you making the choices that you're making right now? Like, what's at the root of that? And once we do pull out those weeds, now we start the real work of really shifting their lens of like, what is it that you want? What change do you want? Do you want to stay exactly where you're at because you're happy? Or do you want to start shifting in the direction of what brings you more joy and more serenity and more peace? And let's start there. Let's create this beautiful vision. And beyond the vision, now let's work on our purpose. Like, why are you doing this? Because there's going to be days that your ego is going to whisper in your ear, like, you're not enough. Mm-hmm. Why did you think you could do this? You know? And that's when your purpose is going to come into full play. And if it's not strong enough, you're going to fall right back into that ego trap and stay there where you were when that turning point occurred.
Right.
Right.
And so for a lot of our listeners of this podcast, they do find themselves in this kind of fork in the road where it's like, what should I do to make that change that I know I need to be happy, but I don't know how to get there?
First, get very clear on what you want, because that clarity, and that's where the vision board comes into play. Make it fun. like really.
I love a vision board. I love a vision board.
And I do one every 6 months, guys, because even as coaches, we have blind spots as well. And we have things that, I mean, we're not perfect. We're human beings, right?
Maybe a turning point happened or they're just about at that turning point. What would you suggest to them if they're sitting here at that fork in the road and they're not sure what to do?
I love doing the vision boards because our vision changes. As we grow and become different people, our vision will always change. And that's beautiful. That's what it's meant to happen. So do it in four pillars of your life, or if you want five, depends, right? So you want to look at your mindset. Where's your mindset right now? Where do you want it to be? Do you want to be a more positive person? Are you a negative person? Relationships. What do you want your relationship with yourself and with others? That's really, you know, that pillar. Then you've got to look at your health. And there's different sides of health. It's not just the physical health. You know, when we were kids, it was always physical health. But now look at your emotional health, your spiritual health. All of these are aspects that you need to look at to really get clear on. And the last one being, let's see, health, relationships, mindset, and career. You know, for us women that want a second act, get very clear on what it is that you want. And you know what, guys? You have always known what you wanted. You've just been too scared. You've allowed fear to keep you in your safety zone. And now it's time to step out of there because you get one life. You get one shot at this, you know? And I don't know about any of you out there, but don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I wish I had, but didn't. I want to get to the end and say, wow, what an awesome life I led. I did everything that my heart desired to do. And I was so joyful. And I was so happy. And I left the legacy for my children to enjoy after I'm gone. And that's what I wanted. So make a vision board. If you find yourself at a crossroads and seek help, don't do this alone because, you know, alone sucks. Don't do it alone. When I lost my baby between my daughter and my son, right after my health crisis, I had a miscarriage. That's okay. You know, if it weren't for that miscarriage, Vivi wouldn't be alive. So, you know, there's always reasons behind stuff. And I remember our OBGYN said, why are you guys suffering alone? Like, no. Next time you get pregnant, and you will, tell people about it. So if you go through another heartache, you're not there by yourself. So any crossroads you're facing, make sure your environment is inspiring, that these people that surround you empower you to be the best version of you. So vision board, get clear, get very clear so that your mind has a GPS tracking way to get there. And make sure that you have the support system there to help you during that change, whatever it is. You could have lost the slam dunk at your company and you're devastated. You could have lost a baby. You could have lost a loved one. There's lots of changes, people retiring. Those are big changes, but change, there's so much wisdom. And it's such an opportunity to really shift your lens towards what you really want in life. So use it for that.
And find like-minded people. I feel like nowadays there's so many online communities that you can search through Facebook and other avenues where you can find like-minded people. They might be strangers, but they've been where you've been or they're going through the same thing. You want to surround yourself with people who go, this is amazing, Sylvia. You are going on this new adventure. And like you said, we have one life. So find people that can help you live that path that you want.
Exactly. And, you know, and the last thing, and that is really the most important thing, is turn inward. Listen to your intuition. There's different ways of doing this, but just quiet the mind to where you can hear the promptings as they come to you. And more importantly, like we've discussed, act on them. Mm-hmm. Act on them. Have faith and confidence that life is happening in your favor and not to you.
Hey, it's Shannon. I am just popping in to let you know that the waitlist for my next session of the Second Act Accelerator course is now open. Join the waitlist at secondactsuccess.co/waitlist. This course is for career professionals ready to pivot to a new purpose. I will help you narrow down those career change ideas that have been swirling around in your head using my Second Act strategy. By the end of the program, you will have an action plan on how to get to that next career goal. Join like-minded individuals in our private community group. Plus, you will have access to weekly group coaching, live workshops, expert guests, and one-on-one coaching with me. I have been busy working with my first cohort of students, and let me just tell you, they have been planning and progressing so well. Now it is your turn. Join the waitlist at secondactsuccess.co/waitlist. And I hope to see you in the next session of the Second Act Accelerator this January. Now it's back to the episode. You suffered a very traumatic experience with your hospital and your diagnosis at that time. I often wonder, and there's a saying out there that's, you know, do not make a drastic decision when you're going through an extreme circumstance. Do you agree with that? Because you do deal with so many people in turning points, like, you know, if you have postpartum depression, should you not make a big decision during that period? What are your thoughts on that?
There is a period of reflection, and that is part of the blueprint that I share in the book, Journey to Me. So when that turning point occurs, your subconscious mind is operating on past programming. If your past programming is very destructive, that's what you're going to be like automatically getting triggered to do. Okay. If you're going through something like depression that's very dangerous for you, that's the time to seek medical help and therapy help to guide you during that stage that where your feelings are very raw and real. And then once you clear that feeling out, once you really get to the root, and that's where a therapist or a coach can really help you, that's when you really want to turn inward, and that's when you start to move in the direction of how God, universe, energy is prompting you to do.
That's excellent advice, because I feel like your emotions can get so hot that you follow them when maybe you should just take a breath first. Talk to me about your book then. You've mentioned it a couple times, but we haven't chatted about it yet. So you wrote Journey to Me.
Yes. Journey to Me, Trust the Wisdom of Change. It got published in October of last year, and it was a book that talks about turning points and how they can be life-changing. It talks about these stories, and in the story, I will coach you the way I would have liked to have been coached, and what's going on with your subconscious mind, your conscious mind, to kind of give you some tips on how to navigate to joy much faster than I did, because I took a lot of detours because I was operating from fear a great deal of time. It's a book that gives you a blueprint on how to use these turning points and turn them in the direction of your soul identity and really kind of clear the outside noise, really quiet your mind and turn inward, and how to use these promptings to step with confidence into the change, because the change is there to teach us certain lessons. And when we reflect on our life, like I did with Journey to Me, I saw these lessons. In each chapter, I'm talking about a certain lesson. And in the middle of the chapter and at the end, I have coaching tips, traps, and then I have meditation and prayer prompts, right? Like scripture, to kind of showcase these lessons learned, a little bit of scripture, but I also have journaling prompts. So it kind of includes a workbook inside the book. It's meant for you to just kind of slowly take it and see where, you know, how it can help you change, shift your lens, basically. There's a lot of mindset coaching tips in the book, but I also talk a lot about how patterns of behavior really come into self-sabotage and give you some clear indications how they showed up in my life, how they could potentially show up in yours. It was such a therapeutic way for me to kind of heal myself, but I also aim to heal others, because I was prompted to share it, even though some of these are the most intimate turning points of my life that I'm sharing with other people. But I was basically told, this is not your story to keep. This is your story to share with others to help them journey through change joyfully.
It was therapy for you, and teaching these amazing resources to others. What a way of serving. That's really great. So where can we get the book? Where can my listeners find it if they'd like to?
Well, if they want an autographed copy, they can email me directly and just put autographed copy on there, and I'll send them a Square invoice for it. Otherwise, if they don't want one, they can go to Amazon. It's available on Amazon, Journey to Me, Trust the Wisdom of Change. It's also available anywhere online, Barnes & Nobles, any of these major independent bookstores. It's Sylvia Worsham, Journey to Me, Trust the Wisdom of Change.
Sylvia, would you have ever thought back in your days at Pfizer that you would have switched from that corporate sales job to being a Turning Points life coach and an author?
No, because the golden shackles that I used to call the pharmaceutical world of corporate America, they shackle you into believing that you can't leave them because of the money and wealth that you have with them and the security and certainty. But guys, that's just an illusion. that they create for us. Mm-hmm. And while some companies are really good to work for, not all of them are great to work for. Because ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to write. And everybody always told me I was a good writer, but I always kind of kept it. And he had been prompting me since 2007. And I had been putting it off because I was a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid of failing. At the end, I actually saw myself the way that God saw me. And it's a completely different Sylvia than the one that started off in the first act. So afraid of life, so afraid of failing, such a perfectionist achiever. And I mean, there were some beautiful moments in that act. I'm not going to deny it. But for the most part, this second act has been so rewarding in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like my joy, I pause and I soak in these moments, and they're so small, but they just fill my cup so immensely. And I don't have to like work myself to death to get there. And it's that easy, guys. And I never thought it was going to be that easy. The Sylvia before would have been like, oh no, I have to work and sacrifice.
Well, tell me about a lesson that you learned on your journey that maybe our listeners need to hear right now. If they take one thing away from listening to you on this podcast, what should that advice be?
Self-love was really the last lesson I learned, and that's the most important one. From that space is what a lot of your choices come from, in your career, in your relationships, in your health. If you don't love yourself and you don't practice self-love or self-care, it's going to be a longer detour to get there at wherever there is for you. To me, there is no there. There's always, you know, growth happening.
Yeah.
Right? It's a continual journey. It doesn't end. It ends when you die. But what matters is between when you were born and you died, that line in between, that's what we're going through right now.
Right.
And that's the journey of life. Journey to us, like to the person I was created to be.
I'm sure you shed a lot of tears in writing and talking about the past as well, but just the feeling that you described earlier of when you left Pfizer, that feeling of relief. And mm-hmm. I just feel like you probably had that same feeling of relief when the book was done and out into the world, because now you could breathe, you accomplished this goal, and you are in a place of joy. And mm-hmm. you're open to what is next, and to know that you're sharing this with others and helping them find their place of joy and where they need to be.
To me, that's what brings me immense joy right there, mm-hmm. is helping someone who I can see clearly is struggling like I once did. I didn't want them to go by themselves mm-hmm. like I did. I chose to do this alone a lot. I didn't share it with a lot of people because I thought I had to do it alone to earn the right to be joyful. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. But when I see it in others and I help them, and then I have like my little corner of like the gifts I've received from them over the years of like, thank you so much. You've really helped me see the best version of me, and kind of look at that. And I remind myself, this is why you stepped confidently into that change and why you continue to do it today. And because of that joy, and there's nothing that compares to it. I mean, like Pfizer winning that award, I got to tell you, when I got thank you cards from second graders the other day, because I'd been in their classroom to kind of teach them about their big feelings, I got these beautiful thank you cards, and I wept tears of joy at my car. I just sat there and I was like, I'm impacting young lives, beautiful lives that are going to be the leaders of our world at some point.
Yeah.
So if we can help another human being be the best version of them, I mean, we all win.
Yeah. So I bet you those kids took what you said home. Maybe they told a sibling or they told their parents, but they're going to keep that inside. And that is so priceless.
And yes.
Wow. I relate to so much of what you've gone through and what you said, and just in different ways on my own path. I feel like you have so much to offer our listeners, and they're going to get so much out of this.
One last thing I wanted to say is that all of you have a light inside of you, a particular set of skills and gifts that this world needs. I mean, we need you. We need you to be the most empowered you can be for your kids' sake, for yourselves, and for humanity. I really believe in you, and I believe in your story of empowerment, and use change. Use your second act to really step in there with joy, with confidence and faith that life is happening in your favor.
And if our listeners want to reach out to you for some coaching or some support, how can they find you?
All social media channels under Sylvia Worsham. So LinkedIn would be the best way to find me, but I'm also available on Instagram, and you can private message me, and I can leave you my email and they can email me directly. I have a webpage, but in all honesty, my landing page is LinkedIn. But if you want to check out my webpage, it's sylviaworsham.com, but I'm everywhere. I'm really available for anyone who wants to reach out and ask any questions of anything we've discussed today. If there's any clarification I can provide for any of you listening, I'd be more than happy to do that.
What about one piece of advice that you would give someone who's starting their second act today?
Enjoy those pockets of joy in the journey, because your life, it's going to happen. You will be acting and turning inwards and acting on those promptings, but joy, enjoy it. Enjoy that ride and that journey. The more you can, the better, because that's what's going to keep you on that journey of self-discovery more so, because you're enjoying it.
So what about you, Sylvia? What does the next chapter look like for you? I'm wondering if there'll be another book in your future that's more based on joy.
Probably. I do believe there's other books in me, and this is just the start of that journey. So I'm so excited.
Sylvia, I just thank you so much for sharing your amazing journey and your story and all the good that you're putting in the world to help others feel the same joy that you feel.
Thank you so much, Shannon. It's been my pleasure to be here today.
Okay, I have many takeaways from my talk with Sylvia, but mainly it's that life is short and health is not guaranteed. If what we are currently doing is not serving us, it is time to move on, my friends. Sylvia had the money and the accolades, but it just wasn't allowing her to be the woman and the mom that she wanted. Maybe you can relate. I know I do. Now Sylvia spends her days helping others find their true calling. She helps people move through the turning points in their lives in a way that really serves them. To learn more about Sylvia and her journey, go to sylviaworsham.com. I hope this episode has inspired you to live your best life, whatever that looks like to you. Before we say goodbye, can you please do me a favor and hit pause and leave this podcast a review? My goal is to reach as many people as I can so that every person feels empowered to find success in their second act. Thank you for listening, my friend. I will be back again next time for another episode, more career advice, and more inspiration just for you. Thank you for joining us. I hope you found some gems of inspiration and some takeaways to help you on your path to second act success. To view show notes from this episode, visit secondactsuccess.co. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. Reviews only take a few moments, and they really do mean so much. Thank you again for listening. I'm Shannon Russell, and this is Second Act Success.